Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul uqdata min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ameen. I'd like to welcome you all back for our daily series on du'as from the Quran. Inshallah, today we're going to be looking at a very interesting du'a, which really has a lot of layers and a lot of perspective to it. But before we jump into that, I just want to talk a little bit about Penny Appeal USA. This series is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Since 2016, Penny Appeal has been committed to fighting hunger, poverty, and need. They've provided aid in the midst of emergencies. They've supported orphans, provided warm meals. They give medical assistance, provide clean water to families across Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and right here in the USA. Since then, Penny Appeal has helped over a million people and empowered communities around the world, helping to break the cycle of poverty and build brighter futures. This Ramadan, they will continue this effort with the support of people like you to join their You Are the Difference Ramadan campaign and change a life. Please visit pausa.org/qadam. Again, you know, as we mentioned before, there are so many causes and there's so much good work happening. We ask you to take a look at the work that Penny Appeal is doing. Go to their website at pausa.org and learn about the work that they're doing. And please do consider supporting them. Inshallah, today we're going to be looking at a dua from Surah Yunus. And here it's a dua with in the story of Musa alayhi salam. It's not Musa alayhi salam that is making the du'a, but a group of believers, a small group of believers who accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam, that are going to make this du'a. And what's really interesting, we'll go back just a little bit in the surah, or one ayah back, just to set kind of the tone and this context of this du'a. So right before this ayah, right before ayah number 84, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions a story that is mentioned in many places in the Quran, and that is of Musa alayhi salam's kind of showdown with the magicians, right? So just to kind of summarize what happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun with a few miracles, right? One of those being a kind of shining bright hand, a glowing hand, you can say. And the second being his staff would turn into a real snake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instructs Musa alayhi salam that when he grabs the snake, then it'll return to being his staff again. As is mentioned in many places in the Quran, some places with more detail. In this surah, there's not a lot of detail mentioned about that specific incident, but Fir'aun, he kind of gathered the top talent that was available in the land, and he gathered them all, and they set an appointed time to meet and have this kind of showdown with Musa alayhi salam. And it's really interesting, you know, very subtle things, but to read about the interaction the magicians that gather, they ask Musa alayhi salam, do you want to go first or should we? And Musa alayhi salam says, you guys go first. As in, like, do everything you need to do, show what's, you know, do your best, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's miracle will reign supreme. So they, you know, they go ahead and they cast their sticks and ropes and their trickery and their illusion or their magic. And Musa alayhi salam in this surah says, you guys, you know, all you're doing is some trickery and magic. And then Musa alayhi salam casts his staff and it turns into a real snake that eats up whatever they've casted. And of course, this is from other mentions in the Quran. Here it's mentioned very quickly. And then it kind of jumps immediately into setting up some of the context. Even after that, you would expect that after witnessing such a miracle from a prophet, you would expect that so many people would accept Islam or accept the message of Musa alayhi salam. We do know that a lot of the magicians that were present when they witnessed this miracle and, you know, they knew what it takes to do illusions and trickery, and they saw that this isn't anything that we know, this is definitely divine. When they saw that and they a lot of them immediately accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam, and they were killed for it as a result of it by Fir'aun. So, you know, even after this clear miracle was there, we're learning in this passage that still a lot of people didn't believe, right? There was only a small handful. And why didn't they believe? This ayah explains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 83, فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَن يَفْتِنَهُمْ. So no one believed in Musa alayhi salam except a few of his own people. Why? Because of fear that Fir'aun and his leaders would persecute them. So there was this, you know, extreme duress that people were living under, that if you accept the message of Musa, you'll be persecuted, you'll be tortured. And that pressure really held a lot of people back from accepting. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah that a few people did accept. A few people did, respond to the call of Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam then in the next ayah calls out to these people and he says, really to his nation, he says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. Musa alayhi salam said, my people, if you have faith in Allah, if you believe in Allah and are devoted to Him, then put your trust in Allah. And this isn't a great translation, but if you believe in Allah and you've submitted to His will, then put your trust in Allah to show that you are Muslims, to show that you've truly submitted. And now a few things to note. Now we're going to get into the dua. The dua is in the response of this group of people to this call of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam is saying, if you guys are real believers, if you guys have really submitted to this message, if you have wholeheartedly submitted, if you've devoted yourselves, then put your trust in Allah. It's interesting, well, how do you do that or how do you manifest that? And we're seeing that in their dua, the first thing, this response from the group of people that have accepted, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. So the first thing they do, think about it, it's so powerful because Musa alayhi salam is saying, if you're real believers, if you've truly submitted, then put your trust in Allah. What is the first thing that they say? They say, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. They respond to remove any doubt. Musa alayhi salam said, put your trust in Allah if you're believers, if you've submitted. They're like, done. You know, there's no hesitation, clear response, perfect response to that statement, that condition that was presented. And they say, Alallahi tawakkalna, we have put our trust in Allah. Meaning, we believed in Him, we've wholeheartedly submitted. Then they go on and they make a dua and they say, Rabbana, لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين. They say, our Lord. Now, I put up two translations on the screen for a reason, because we're going to see a bit of a difference in translation here. They say, our Lord, do not make us, I'm going to translate literally first, do not make us a fitna, a trial, a tribulation for the oppressive people or for the wrongdoing people. All right. That's what the literal translation that I'm giving you here. So let's look at these two translations and we'll see a few different messages that come out of this. One of these is, you know, pretty obvious. Maybe the first thing you think about if you put these words together, you'd say, oh Allah, don't let them test us and try us. Don't let them persecute us, right? Just as was mentioned a few ayahs ago, that fear of persecution really, stopped people from accepting the message of Islam. But these people are saying, oh Allah, don't let the oppressive nation torture us and abuse us and put us to test, right? Don't make us the fitna. However, what the scholars have mentioned here, which is really interesting, is another meaning behind this dua. And that is, and it's interesting, it goes back to the literal translation of the dua, that, oh Allah, don't make us the trial. Don't make us the test for them. When something is a trial for someone, you're saying, don't make us the means by which they go further astray. And how would that be possible? Number one, the scholars mention that, oh Allah, do not give them power over us, because if they have power over us, if they have authority over us, they will think that they have power and authority over us because they're right and we're wrong. They'll think that the believers, they'll think that the truth is wrong because they have power over us, they have authority, they have control right now in this worldly life momentarily. And that will serve as a fitna, and it'll drive them further away from accepting the message of Musa alayhi salam. Right, so don't make us, don't use us, or don't make us a means, don't make us that trial that pushes them further away. Another thing scholars mention on this note, which is really powerful, is that, oh Allah, and this is really interesting for us in our context, for anyone living in the West or living in a, you know, quote unquote, non-Muslim land, right, as a minority, oh Allah, don't make us, don't make our actions, don't make our representation of this faith, of Islam, of your religion, O Allah, don't make our representation of it a means for people to go away from your message. I.e., O Allah, let us fulfill it perfectly. Let us do it justice so that when people see the beauty of it, they come closer to you and they don't go further away from you by looking at our actions. And then, so those are the few kind of nuanced meanings. The first one is more what you would think of, which is don't let them torture us. The second and third ones are saying, oh Allah, don't create a scenario where because we are the fitna, because they have power over us, or because of some of our actions, they get further away from your message, oh Allah. Okay. And then they go on and make more dua on the next ayah. They continue and they say, وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Then they make the next dua and they say, oh Allah, save us by your mercy, because of your mercy, from the disbelieving people. Now, what's interesting, the dua is very straightforward. Now, in the second part of the dua, they're asking for their own salvation and protection, right? And what's so interesting, what the scholars mention here is that if you understand that second meaning, of don't make us the test, don't make us the means by which they turn away. And then you see in the next part of the ayah, next dua is when they finally ask for their own salvation. We see that this group of people, they had a deep care and concern for others to come closer to Allah, right? And it's so selfless when you think about it in the larger context, that they're living under this duress, they're living under pressure. So many people are not accepting because of this tense situation. You can imagine they're torturing people. We know that the magicians were crucified and killed after they accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam. And still, these people have adopted that prophetic concern and that prophetic care, where they're still making dua that, oh Allah, don't allow them to go further away from your religion, oh Allah, i.e., oh Allah, save them as well. Right, they're making dua to Allah. They're showing that care and concern, even for their oppressor, even for the ones that are torturing them. Right, and it just goes to show you that kind of deep prophetic concern that they've embodied. Right, and then after making dua, kind of not inadvertently, but in this way for someone else, then they pray for their own salvation. They're prioritizing others over themselves. So again, there's a lot of beautiful things we can learn from these du'as. I'm just going to recap a few of the things. The first one is just this opening to the du'a, where they start off by saying, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. They start off by saying, oh Allah, we put our trust in you. This teaches us that the foundation of dua, the foundation of an accepted dua, is that reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of belief in Allah. The stronger your belief is in Allah, the more you'll be able to rely on Him. If you struggle to put your trust in Allah, then that means that belief isn't strong enough, or you're not convinced enough to put your trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you come closer to that? How do you get closer to putting your trust in Allah? Is to, you know, keep building that belief and building that trust in Allah through action. And again, dua is one of those perfect actions to build that quality. The more you supplicate to Allah, the more you turn to Allah with your needs and everything, all your wants and desires, the more you put your trust in Allah before you put your trust in other things, before you put your trust in the creation of Allah or in the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you turn to Allah first, that builds that belief and that builds that conviction. And that's at the core of dua. That dua is its most meaningful when you're doing it sincerely committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing we're learning is that, you know, this concern for others, and we're seeing that in this dua, not only do they make dua for themselves, but they're also making dua for others. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from these du'as that we're learning throughout this series. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to come closer to Him by means of du'a. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our actions in this blessed month of Ramadan. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to finish this month of Ramadan stronger than we started it. Again, jazakumullah khair for joining us on this du'as from the Quran series. This is a regular series about the same time every day, inshallah, till the end of Ramadan. This series is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Please consider checking out the work that they're doing at pausa.org/qadam and consider supporting them during these blessed days. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.